Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Good evening, it's 5:30. This is Update for Monday, 25th of March, 2024, from Manx Radio. 30 minutes looking at the latest news on the island. Background to that news, we've got sport and business and travel updates and the newsmakers in person. This evening, the steam packets resolved the dispute with the workers. The future of the TT Fun Fair. Tynwald rejects Onken's bid to reclaim lost Onken. The latest on our offshore wind farm, and the Ravens were back with a win at the weekend.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Fastermy, Christian Jones.
Fastermy, the Isle of Man steam packet company, believes reducing its services would be the way forward for cutting carbon emissions. However, it acknowledges that's only a short-term proposition and there are alternatives. Meanwhile, members of the Maritime Trade Union Nautilus are set to receive a substantial increase in their annual leave allowance. The rise is part of a new package of terms agreed upon by the steam packet company, marking the end of a more than two-year dispute. And unemployment on the Isle of Man fell in February, but the proportion of economically active people who are out of work remains the same at 0.7%. A total of 306 people are registered unemployed. In international news now, and the UK Deputy Prime Minister has officially blamed China for what he's calling two malicious cyber campaigns in the UK. The cybersecurity agency believes a China-backed group known as APT31 was responsible for a campaign of online spying against the email accounts of a group of MPs and peers. China denies the allegations. The United Nations Security Council is calling for a ceasefire in Gaza for the rest of Ramadan. 14 council members backed the resolution, with the US abstaining. And the European Commission says it's investigating US tech giants Google, Apple and Meta for possible breaches of a new law. Firms which provide search engines, social networks and chat apps are now required to ensure they provide a level playing field for rivals. Those are the update news headlines. Next at 6.
Secure tomorrow today with Man Benham's guidance on powers of attorney and more. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goramaya, thank you, Christian. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, there's a strong wind warning in operation, certainly for tomorrow, and the sea state is slight or moderate. The weather for the island this evening, a drizzly evening and a moderate east-southeasterly, will go down to 6 degrees through a mainly dry night, drier as the night goes on. For Jemert, intermittent rain and drizzle on a moderate easterly, top temperature at 8 degrees tomorrow. The wind will turn southeasterly after dark, overnight minimum 5 into Jacrane. Sunny intervals on Wednesday, scattered showers and a moderate southeasterly veering southerly and freshening through Wednesday morning. Top temperature in the afternoon 8 degrees. Tide still on the way out for the next half hour, low water 4 minutes past 6. Sunset 17 minutes to 7. High tide a minute to midnight tonight. Sunrise tomorrow morning 4 minutes after 6. And low water at 10 past 6.
Manx Glass and Glazing are proud to be an approved contractor with Construction Isle of Man. Call the team on 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Well, it's over. Workers on board the Manxman have resolved a row which lasted more than 2 years with the Isle of Man steam packet company. Members of Nautilus, the union, were opposed to changes to their terms and conditions, with fire and rehire letters being sent out towards the end of last year. Here's the senior national organiser for the union, Gary Elliott.
The new deal was to have a work-life balance, so we were always of the intention to try and accommodate some additional leave and additional release from the shift, which has managed to be attained. They have an element of up to 8 weeks annual leave, and they're built into 2-week blocks, allow people to take 2 week periods. We managed to increase the leave, totaling to an extra couple of weeks leave. We've always intimated there needs to be flexibility. Some people's personal circumstances, some people operate 1 week on, 1 week off, and some people operate a 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. It's what suits the individual circumstances. So that continues to be the case. I think they honestly believe that their employees would not be willing to take any form of industrial action, even with such a fundamental change to their terms and conditions. I feel as if we always had a good relationship, and I've always said that the collective bargaining agreement was a very strong collective bargaining agreement, and the terms and conditions were good for our members. I think we've had some element of a blip. We'll never know how much information the Treasury was aware of. The Isle of Man government has to take a view and has to get involved in these sort of dispute situations for a lifeline service that's operating to the Isle of Man. They have to have some direct involvement, and they have to ensure that no time in the future is ever the threat of fire and rehire.
6 weeks today, it's the early May bank holiday Monday, and 9 weeks today, the spring bank holiday Monday, 27th of May, which is TT. And the organisers of the TT Funfair say they'd love to continue bringing the attraction to the island for as long as possible. Last year, its future was thrown into doubt after the government said it wasn't a core element of the TT and it wouldn't be actively supported going forward. One of the organisers from the Funfair's David Taylor.
We were delighted to be allowed to come back, and we're even more delighted when the people of the island come out to support us. Everyone seemed to have a good time. We certainly had a good time. I mean, we enjoy coming to the Isle of Man. But yes, it was popular last year. We were very lucky with the weather, and we'd like to book the same 2 weeks of sunshine this year, if possible, please.
Are you confident in the future of the fair here on the island?
What happens with the Isle of Man? The Isle of Man isn't big enough to support an all year round fun fair. Most areas have a fun fair that comes to their town at Easter or comes at May Day or whatever. Whereas the Isle of Man, there's not that big of a population. But to come over for the TT when there's extra few people, it's very expensive, as you know, to travel to and from the Isle of Man. So the extra bit of revenue that's picked up during the TT week pays towards the cost of it. It makes it viable for us to come, and hopefully everybody on the island gets a first-class funfair, which they probably couldn't afford to have at any other time, if you understand what I mean. And we're delighted to be able to come, and we hope, you know, we've came for 30-odd years now. Two of my children weren't even born when I first came to the Isle of Man, so they've came all their lives, if you like. And we'd like to continue to do that, please, for a bit longer.
The only radio station that's Manx, and we're proud of it. Celebrating 60 years... This is Manx Radio.
22 minutes now before 6. FC Isle of Man's manager hopes its side's 2-1 victory over Ramsbottom United on Saturday can be an example of how to manage games and to get more results during the remainder of the season. Paul Jones was asked what pleased him most as the Ravens returned to winning ways at the Bowl on Saturday.
The way we went about it, really. I thought we played ever so well first half, and we were pretty solid at the back and able to create some really good goal-scoring opportunities, and Sean and Charlie finished their chances really well. And then we had to dig in a little bit. We had to be flexible and adaptable in terms of the formations we were playing and the personnel on the pitch, and just that kind of mentality and mindset to just do whatever we needed to do to win a game of football was very evident. You know, I asked the players before the game to show us how much it meant for them to wear the shirt and to also show everybody how much they've learnt this season. We've lost too many points, as I've said to you, from winning positions this season, and it was pleasing to see a 2-0 scoreline in our favour at half time carry us through into winning the game. You know, once you're 2-0 up, you shouldn't be losing games of football at whatever level you are. And we probably didn't quite keep the ball in their half of the pitch quite as much as we wanted to, but we had more than enough to see the game through. And yes, it's very pleasing, and hopefully we can build on that in the weeks ahead and take those lessons and show that we've learned from them and we've improved from them, and then make sure we remember all of that into next season, and then we can go again from an even better position. This is a huge amount to improve and get better at. We're far from the finished article, to be honest, and that's the most exciting thing with working with this group of players. But it's mentality. You know, we said in there, you know, we had 16 players that were committed to doing what they needed to do to win a game, and I don't think we have that as consistently as we could do. We know they're good players, we know individually they can do really good things attacking and defensively, but it's about bringing them together into a unit and them willing to work for each other all over the pitch and be a real team. And they regardless of whether they like each other off the pitch or not, it's irrelevant. When they're on the pitch together wearing the shirt together, then they should you know, run through brick walls for each other, and they did that, and hopefully they remember that, and we can kind of keep doing that through to the end of the season.
Tynwald's rejected a bid for Onchan to reclaim parts of the constituency which were lost to boundary changes which occurred since 2013. Onchan MHK Rob Callister's attempt to amend recommendations put forward by the Electoral Commission was defeated, but he thinks it's not over yet. The story from Christian Jones.
The report was commissioned following the most recent general election we had, which identified changes to the way elections should be conducted on the Isle of Man. Tynwald approved all but three recommendations. The failed ones suggest the Isle of Man remain in line with international standards, accepting a maximum constituency population of the average plus or minus 15%. But Mr. Callister had hoped to change some of them and bring Onchan back together again, and floated the possibility of it becoming a three-seat constituency.
And I appeal to this court to align the boundary of the constituent of Onchan with the Onchan local authority area map in order to help preserve the integrity of Onchan as a single constituency, a single community.
I believe that a sense of community and of representatives representing areas with a shared interest are both important, and we shouldn't be seeking to legislate away what makes the island unique. Now, for sure, they do this in the UK, making arbitrary changes to boundaries without these considerations. We aren't in the UK. We should do what's right for the Isle of Man.
If we go along with this make Onchan great again and keep Ramsey together again, we end up with representation that distorts democracy.
There are reasons these decisions are not taken politically elsewhere, and I would urge caution with quick decisions by amendment that may lead to unintended consequences.
Rob Callister's amendment ultimately failed to get support and so was rejected by Tynwald. He thinks it's not the end of it.
Narrowly was defeated, 13 votes to 10 in the House of Keys and 1 and 7 in the Legislative Council. But what has actually happened is the actual Tynwald Court has now voted out recommendation 1, recommendation 3. And we may have a situation now where all of this gets reviewed again.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wint.
Best of it, 18 minutes now before 6 this Monday evening. Three ecology surveys are being undertaken by Manx Utilities as part of its onshore wind farm data gathering process. They hope to understand the extent to which wildlife and the ecology use the area and what impact the renewable energy infrastructure could have. Lizzie Riley is the Program Manager for Energy Transition at Manx Utilities.
These are bat surveys, ornithological surveys and lizard and frog surveys. And what we're specifically doing with these surveys is understanding the behaviours of these animals at the site, how they interact with the site as well. And further down the line, that allows us to identify specific mitigation measures, if required, that will help us to make sure we minimise the impact to as much as possible.
Talk to me about reptile mats. They sound quite intriguing. How do they work?
The time of year that we're in at the moment, you might start to see lizards coming out of hibernation. And the first thing they want to do is they seek heat. So they try and warm themselves up. So the mats on a warmer day are particularly attractive to them because it allows them to go and bask in the sun, and they pick up the heat energy from the sun. But further down the line, as we move into warmer months where they don't necessarily need that energy, they can also use the mats to hide from predators. So what's involved from us from that perspective is our teams will go around the site and they are looking at these mats. They're a really good place to spot reptiles, and it's the best way for us to identify what level of risk there is to that organism at the site.
And once you've got that data in place, what will that contribute towards your kind of final decision makings within that final data set?
Two things really that they contribute to. The first is within the environmental impact assessment themselves. It's specifically defining what that impact is likely to be if we were to go ahead. These surveys are really a part of a multi-pronged approach that we're undertaking. And we've actually, for example, with the bird surveys, been undertaking these works since September. But we're moving into a period of nesting and mating season, and we would expect birds to behave in a very different way at this time of year. So it's actually a change in the approach we're taking with surveys.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
At 16 minutes now before 6, Boeing has announced a series of changes within its board and management today, with Dave Calhoun announcing his resignation as the aerospace giant navigated turbulence around the 737 MAX. The company's president and chief exec said he'd resign from his role by the end of this year, but remain at the helm through the year to oversee Boeing's ongoing efforts to stabilise. Independent board member Larry Kellner's agreed to decide not to seek re-election at the upcoming annual shareholder meeting, marking the end of his 13-year tenure with the Boeing board. And for a full daily market report, go to ramseycrookhall.com. The EU has announced investigations into some of the biggest tech firms in the world over uncompetitive practices. Meta, Apple and Alphabet, which of course owns Google, are being looked into for potential breaches of the Digital Markets Act, the DMA, introduced in 2022. If they're found to have broken the rules, the firms could face huge fines of up to 10% of their annual turnover. EU antitrust boss Margarete Vestager and industry head Thierry Breton announced the investigations earlier today. Now, just six companies have obligations under the DMA, but they're the world's largest tech firms: Alphabet, Apple, Meta, Amazon, Microsoft, and ByteDance. None's based in Europe. Five of them are American, and ByteDance has headquarters in Beijing. Three of them are now facing questions just 2 weeks after submitting their compliance reports. This comes just 3 weeks after the EU fined Apple €1.8 billion for breaking competition laws over music streaming.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets had a mixed start to the new trading week. The yen strengthened after Japan's top currency diplomat warned against speculators trying to weaken the currency. Oil rose and gold rose too, driven by expectations of interest rate cuts by the US Fed. And the numbers from Ramsey Crookall reporting at the close in London. The FTSE 100 down almost 0.2%, 7,917. The DAX in Frankfurt up 0.3% at the close, 18,268. A short time ago in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial down 0.3%, 39,353. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index down 0.2% almost at 16,399. The S&P 500 in the Midwest down again almost 0.2% at 5,224. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is trading at $1 26.4 cents, €1 16.5 cents, and 23 South African rand 90.3 cents. In commodities, gold's up 0.5% at $2,175 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude up 1.2% at $86.04.
I'm running late again. Do you know where I put my car keys?
In the fridge.
Where's my phone?
Under the dog basket.
Bye.
You haven't forgotten that we're seeing Ramsey Crookall later?
Oh, no, of course not. 5 p.m. is it?
2:45.
I'll be there.
Life is busy. That's why Ramsey Crookall's team takes time to help you make a mindful investment decision, considering all the options, giving you full control of your financial future. Less stress, more assurance.
Forgot to put my shoes on.
Oh.
See how we can make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
The motor vessel Manxman left Heysham at 18 minutes to four. She won't be into Douglas till gone 7 o'clock, possibly as late as 20 past 7 this evening. This evening's departure, the Manxman heads to from Douglas to Heysham at 8:45, getting to Lancashire at 12:30, and the overnight departure 3 a.m. back to Douglas at 6:45 tomorrow. The Fastcraft Mananan left Douglas at 3:45. She'll be into Liverpool in the next 45 minutes, leaving Liverpool at 8 o'clock, back to Douglas at 10:45. Tomorrow morning's departure is Mananan. The Fastcraft leaves Douglas and heads to Heysham at 8:46. The House of Keys will hear the Health Minister being called on about assertions he made in relation to a Health Services Consultative Committee in October last year. The challenge comes from Chris Thomas, MHK. The story from John Moss.
In Keys Questions last autumn, Mr. Hooper used a word that would be regarded as unparliamentary. Mr. Thomas's motion asks him to explain the comments. It comes at the end of the Keys agenda paper. Earlier, ministers will be asked to answer 18 questions from members. There's one starred priority question from Jason Morehouse. It asks about the number of people who have died by suicide in each of the last 5 years. He then asks about the regularity with which the economic dashboard is published. That's followed by his question on Jersey's goods and services tax and whether the Manx Treasury has looked at the potential income locally. His final question in this opening quartet concerns Social Security Division payments to private landlords. Other questions concern royal assent for the vaping bill from Mrs. Christian and a further Jason Morehouse question on the education bill. Mr. Thomas asks about inaccuracies in the Health Services Consultative Committee, a subject he returns to at the end of the agenda in his motion. He also asks about recruitment to that committee and about Kroger. Mr. Ashford asks when an assessment of the island's roads was last carried out, while Mr. Morehouse, who has asked 8 questions in total, asks about smart meters, post office employees and guarantees over the delivery time for first-class mail. Mr. Thomas completes questions with an inquiry about data collected by the Housing and Communities Board. He was, of course, formerly chairman.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300. Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Beth Espy.
Fastamai, well, some great news to start with. Isle of Man athletic star Sarah Webster successfully defended her British women's 100-kilometre road running title in Scotland at the weekend. The Anglo-Celtic Plate 100 kilometres took place in Perth's North Inches Park, and it incorporates part of the British 100-kilometre championships. Now, Sarah finished with a time of 7 hours, 3 minutes and 48 seconds. That is within 8 seconds of her record-breaking efforts in Northern Ireland last year. ManxAthletics.com says the result was an incredible display of well-paced running by a fantastic athlete, and we certainly agree. In rugby, Douglas Quest for additional points in Regional 2 North West came to naught at the weekend at Winnington Park when they went down 43-23. Elsewhere in the league, Altrincham Kersal beat Whitchurch and nudged Douglas from 8th place to 9th, and Southern Nomads took 2nd place in the Shield with a 32-26 win against Western Vikings at a very windy Ballykillia Park. And motorcycle news, 25 times TT winner Michael Dunlop set to compete in a prestigious Le Mans 24-hour race next month. He'll be in the Superstock category of the FIM Endurance World Championship for French team TRT27. He actually, though, is yet to announce his plans for this year's Isle of Man TT races and Northwest 200, so we'll be keeping an eye on that. And just staying with TT news, the Daffabet Racing team says the 2024 season has officially started as Matt Stevenson is getting back up to speed after 3 days in Spain. It's the first time Matt's been back on one of their bikes since he crashed out of TT qualifying last year, so it is great to see him back.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
No problems at the airport. Inbound 525 Loganair from Manchester came in just a couple of minutes late. Next, it's the 528 Loganair returning patient transfer from Liverpool on time, and the 8:05 Loganair from London City showing on time. Outbound, just the 6 o'clock Loganair to Liverpool. On the roads, temporary lights on Braddon Road near Strang Close for a temporary pedestrian crossing, and temporary lights in Laxey on New Road between Old Laxey Hill and Lurgy Graw. There's some crane work ongoing there. In Douglas, Hillside Avenue is closed through to Circular Road for adjacent office window replacement, and a section of Switzerland Road's closed for construction work till November. Temporary lights on Brighton Terrace, Douglas, at the Mount Bradder Junction for gas main replacement. Face closures on the Starvey Road for water main work, and water main work too on Ballykill Ferry Road in Colby through till June. In Andrus, Cian Drogheda Road's closed in phases for the same water main work. Temporary lights on Whitebridge Road, Onken, at the Ballycrink Drive Junction for emergency gas repairs. And between Bishop's Corp and Balaff, temporary lights on the TT course for building work. And temporary lights on the TT course at the Ballycobb Junction at Balaff for resurfacing. The work moves to Kirk Michael over the next 2 weeks. And temporary lights north of Balaff on for work on pavements heading towards Sulby. In Kirkmichael, temporary lights on the main road near Douglas Road corner for carriageway repairs.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
Fire crews tackled a substantial cliffside gorse fire near Port St Mary on Sunday. A roundup from Lewis Foster.
If you're in the surrounding area at the time, you'll no doubt have been aware. The amount of smoke, the fire service says, could be seen from some distance away. There was so much of it in the air, nearby residents were asked to keep doors and windows closed. The gorse became alight shortly after 4 o'clock. On arrival, crews from Port Erin say they were met with multiple scenes of fire. The incident commander quickly set up a water relay that enabled firefighters to obtain a good water supply, and the fires that could be reached were all knocked back. Officers say there was a scene of fire that was particularly difficult to reach due to its location on the cliff, but this was dealt with using a 45mm hose and 2 hose reels. Crews were in attendance for around 3 hours, and the area was well drenched prior to the fire service leaving to prevent any further fires reigniting. Now, you may be wondering how, in late March, following some fairly substantial rainfall over the winter, winter months that a fire of this nature in the countryside can take a hold like this. Well, police, alongside the Fire and Rescue Service, are looking into it. The Isle of Man Constabulary, in fact, says anyone who has any information or who photographed any individuals in the area at the time should contact police headquarters.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates.
5 to 6, just a quick advisory if you're driving towards the mountain. The matrix signs from Hillbury, Sulby, Bagarrow and Ramsey to the mountain showing fog on the mountain road. Do take care. Measuring and addressing poverty on the island is an ongoing journey for the government. The finding of a new report from Comin addressing the measures in place to tackle poverty. The story from Siobhan Fletcher.
The document has been compiled in response to recommendations made by the Select Committee of Tynwald on poverty. In his opening statement, Comin says that understanding and effectively measuring poverty is essential for addressing the challenges faced by individuals, families, and government. However, it conceded that the complexity of poverty necessitates a nuanced understanding that goes beyond income-based measurements. The first issue government seemingly therefore needs to tackle is solidifying a precise definition of poverty and what it means for people here on the Isle of Man in order to measure it. The report states that the findings of the 2023-24 Household Income and Expenditure Survey will be used to help approximate a measure of poverty on the island. In its concluding remarks, Comin says the island's context will always be considered and the methodology adapted to suit our own needs and practicalities. There will be further close working between the Poverty Committee, Government and Statistics Isle of Man to measure and address poverty in our society, including around the remaining Select Committee recommendations.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's News Department. Thanks to newsreader Christian Jones, producer Amy Griffiths. After the news at 6, Billy Gaunt's here with Agenda, Greater Sits with Chris Kinley at 6.30. An update returns tomorrow evening at 5.30.
WINT